Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I better not do too much of that. I don't want to lose my voice again. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which means it is time for the Raw Reaction here on the Chair Shot Radio. I am your host. My name is Harry Broadhurst. Joining me, as per usual, the Down Since Day One co-host, Tony Acero.
Best Raw ever.
And the third man, Andrew Belaz.
I can only wonder what sarcasm would taste like if there was something to it. Tony, what's your flavor of choice, buddy?
Mountain Dew.
All right, there we go. Sarcasm would taste like Mountain Dew. You heard it here first.
I believe his flavor of choice is actually Banks, Sasha, but we'll get to that in a little bit here. How are you guys this weekend? Anything important happen? Anything interesting?
The Rams are going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
seriously,
that's football, though.
What are the chances you're going to be anything resembling sober come the Monday night after the Super Bowl, Tony?
Very, very high. I will be working the Super Bowl, so I'll be it's more about the money than the team.
So you're just a Rams fan for the sake of telling them you're a Rams fan for bigger tips?
No, I never lie. I'm a fan of the idea of a football team from L.A. going to the Super Bowl and people enjoying that.
Andrew, you're from Jersey, which is kind of near Massachusetts. You're up in the Northeast over there. Are you pro-Patriots, anti-Patriots? Where do you fall on the football
team? No. We have to deal with the Giants and the Eagles and the Cowboys. Like, okay, I respect what the Patriots do year in and year out, but just because I respect it don't mean I got to like it. Like, I'm fucking over it by now. Come on. Go to your 9 championships, win your 67 rings. I don't fucking care. Just stop it. I'm done with you.
What side of this do you follow? Whose team do you follow?
I'm going to fall on whoever is not the Patriots this year.
I mean it overall in the NFL, who's your favorite team?
Oh, personally, the Buccaneers, but that has nothing to do with regional bias.
We actually have had that conversation before, I think, because I mentioned that I'm a Bills fan, even though I'm here in Ohio.
I think we have had this conversation.
And we talked about the fact that Tony grew up a Vikings fan because of Adrian Peterson back before he beat his kids.
Or before we knew about it.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll do Super Bowl predictions next week here on the show because, well, frankly, why the fuck not? But for tonight, let's focus on the go-home episode of Monday Night Raw for the 2019 edition of the Royal Rumble. We start with a very, very long opening segment. Holy fucking hell, the opening segment went 18 minutes tonight. And then we took a commercial break and came back into our opening contest. We start with Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. Heyman does all of the talking. Heyman is eventually interrupted by Vince McMahon. Vince and Heyman pronouns have a tete-a-tete back and forth before they're interrupted by Braun Strowman and then once again by Finn Balor. Your traditional revolving door Monday Night Raw opening. The thing that comes out of this, though, is that Vince is still downplaying Finn Balor, which I think is going to be part of the shtick going forward. And Vince then puts Balor into a match with Braun Strowman, who's apparently now medically cleared, miraculously, just in time, to give Balor a preview of what's going to happen at the Rumble. Let's separate this first into the promo and then into the match because both of them were pretty lengthy and took up the vast majority of the first 40 minutes of tonight's episode of Raw. Andrew, what did you think of the opening promo first?
What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that. That. Fucking stupid, boring-ass Raw promos.
Tony?
Sasha Banks. Yeah, that was great. Wait, what was the question?
The opening promo, Tony. Jesus Christ.
Okay. Well, it took a very long time to lead to a match. You know, there's wrestling tropes that you somewhat get used to as a fan for a very long time. And we saw one tonight where it's like, we're not going to give you the actual match, but we're going to give you a semblance of the match so that you can think in your small, single, you know, celled brain that, oh my God, if he could beat Braun, he could beat Brock. I'm not totally upset about it, but it becomes glaringly obvious when the commentary team is bad and they basically tell you that's exactly what they're doing. So it just comes off as anticlimactic, especially considering Finn didn't actually win. I'm not saying that he should have. I'm not making that decision. But I will say that if he did beat Braun, I don't think it would hurt Braun nearly as much as they think. I'm also not a big fan of their whole Vince, you know, doesn't believe in him kind of shtick, because if he doesn't win on Sunday, then guess who's right, you know? And I don't really see a reason for him to win on Sunday. So all of this talk of, you know, it's a fairy tale and it's not going to happen and it's not true. I guess you're right. If Finn doesn't win on Sunday, then Vince isn't wrong.
Yeah, I don't especially care for the fact that they're having Balor super downplay Vince the importance of Balor being in this match. I think that going forward, if you want to help bring up new people up to the main event level, then shitting on the guy as they get to the main event level is not going to do them any favors. What about the match itself, Andrew? What did you think? Balor versus Strowman.
I mean, it was predictable as soon as it happened. Like, there was no way they were going to let one of them take the loss. Braun is Braun, and Finn is getting a Universal title shot, so... Yeah, that was obvious. The promo was kind of botched, too, because it felt like Vince kind of jumped the moment when Finn was trying to correct him on the David and Goliath story, so whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. That whole first hour of Raw, I nearly fell asleep, so that lets you know in general how I felt.
Tony?
Oh, the match? I mean, it was Braun versus Finn. See, the thing is, they've done this match multiple times before, so it didn't have the same effect nearly as much as they wanted it to. And that's a direct effect of their inability to create new storylines or make matches matter over the past several years. We see a match like tonight, we're like, well, this isn't any different. I don't know why you're trying to tell me that it is. The way that they sold it was like, we've never seen something like this. As far as wrestling-wise, it was fine. It wasn't anything, you know, offensive. So it's funny to see Brock just throw people.
That was my biggest complaint about this match, is if you're going to disqualify Brock for coming into the ring with the F5 a little bit later on in the match, why wasn't there a disqualification for that overhead belly-to-belly on the floor?
I mean, you know what? To be honest with you, every ref sucked tonight except for Curt Hawkins, so... I think they really need to reevaluate their roster of referees.
That's a good point, yeah. DQs when we want them to be DQs. That's WWE's new motto.
A no call on a pass interference. I mean, the refs are just horrible this weekend.
That one cost me money. I'm not happy about it, but I digress. Moving on... The celebration for Bobby Lashley's Intercontinental title victory, hosted by Leo Rush, back more towards your traditional Lashley-Rush pairing rather than what we saw in their pre-match promo that we talked about last week about being so fond of here. A lot of posing by Bobby Lashley is interrupted for a lot of posing by Apollo Crews, which leads to a singles match between Lashley and Cruz after Lashley jumps Apollo after the posing. The match itself goes approximately 3 minutes before Bobby Lashley spears Apollo Cruz while he's military pressing Leo Rush. And Leo's magically okay despite falling 7 feet to the ground, but Lashley gets the freak out. Tony, step back for Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush pairing.
Okay, so, yeah, they last week was like a super serious moment, and it really, really worked out well. This week they went back to the gloating and everything and the nasally voice of Leo Rush. It was annoying. It was you know, more of the same. I know, just judging by the comments, judging by even my own preconceived notions of Apollo, I remember saying in the report something like, Cole says, this is interesting. It isn't. And then Apollo went and did something. He made me laugh. I was very shocked, a little upset about it. he had some, like, where did this charisma come from? Because he was funny, and it was natural, and it wasn't, it felt like they didn't script that, or at least they didn't script it that particular way, and it was one of those rare occasions where I think the wrestler was simply being themselves, and it worked out. You know, they never allow them to do that, and I don't know, I kind of got won over a little bit just by that moment. I may be in the minority, though, because a majority, if not all of the comments were like, horrible segment, worst segment ever, what is Apollo doing, blah, blah, blah. But it was the first time someone made fun of the thing that we make fun of every single week. And I don't know, I enjoyed it. I didn't like the, if you win the pose off, you get a match, and then suddenly he gets a match. I don't know, that's just bad writing, though. You know, that's those little mistakes where it's like, come on, man.
Andrew, your thoughts on the segment as well as the match here?
Honestly, it was about the same as Tony, because it was the same, and yet I kind of saw the other side of the coin, because I liked the fact that Apollo Crews showed some personality with the I don't know, jiving, just gesticulations, whatever you actually really want to call it, that he was doing before he hit the pose. It was interesting, and that was funny. I agree, but what the fuck? I'm like, and like it was such a nothing segment. It was so bad. It was just stupid, and I think that's just the part that really gets me anyway. Was it was dumb? It was bad. I don't care.
After Lashley's victory, Seth Rollins and Lashley have a stare down in the aisleway before Rollins makes his way towards the ring. Hopefully, this isn't setting up Lashley and Rollins at Mania, because I have no real interest in seeing that once again, even if it is for the IC title. Anyway, Rollins comes into the ring, quotes Martin Luther King, which was apparently the thing to do tonight, and talks about the fact that the last couple of months have not exactly been what he's wanted them to be, but he's looking forward to going to Phoenix this weekend and winning the Royal Rumble, because it's all about the passion that he has inside of his soul for professional wrestling. He is interrupted by Drew McIntyre, a recurring theme of interruption this evening. McIntyre talks about the fact that what Rollins said may be accurate, but the problem is that Seth Rollins' style of wrestling is going to haunt him, whereas Drew McIntyre is a 6'5" Terminator who won't be flying around the ring and instead will be at the end of the match having his name announced as the winner of the 2019 Royal Rumble, with Seth Rollins laying at ringside for Fallen Man. That sets up our next singles contest. 10 minutes and 49 seconds shown, McIntyre gets rolled up for the pinfall for the victory for Seth Rollins. Andrew.
Yeah, it happened. It was a typical match from them. Honestly, as soon as Seth Rollins opened his mouth and brought up the Roman Reigns thing yet again for like the second month straight, I don't care. Like that's a common theme for this entire episode. Like everything they did made me not care. Was the show kind of okay? Was the match decent? Sure. But do I give a fuck? Not in the least bit.
Tony.
So a common issue that I have with peer editing when I was in college, where everyone would write essays and, you know, people would review them, was the idea of putting a quote either in the beginning of your essay or within the intro of the essay as a springboard for the rest of your essay. It was very, very cheap. It more often than not, the quote only barely connected to the entirety of the rest of the essay, and it just came off as lazy. Some professors even said directly, do not start your essay with a quote. I say this only because both Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins did essentially that tonight, and it came off as cheesy as the essays that I used to read in college. It was forced, it was bad, and I don't need you to quote MLK to me and then try to connect it to your fake life. That was just, to me, it was just unnecessary. Both promos, but if we're focusing more on Seth, thank you for the passion that you have. Thank you for the drive. I don't know why you're telling me this. I don't, you know, there's nothing on the line here. So it's a promo where if in the correct setting or if building up towards something different would have mattered. But tonight it didn't. It was like a promo in a vacuum. You know what I mean? Like there was nothing of substance there because there was nothing surrounding it that mattered with that particular speech. It wasn't like someone was attacking his wrestling love or the passion that he puts in the ring. No one was saying that. No one was putting him down. This was not a response. It was like a, by the way, I'm Seth Rollins and I love what I do. That's great, man. That's cool. I don't care. So that ultimately to me was a waste of time. Drew McIntyre, of course, shatters it in like a minute with his little retort. Basically what they're doing here, which you saw throughout the show, was they're building people up just enough for them to matter in the Royal Rumble, and they will most likely not matter afterwards. Then you have the big hitters like Rollins and Drew who, you know, they're going to matter afterwards, and let's just let them have a match. The match itself was fine. I liked the ending. I thought it was fast-paced and fun, but similar to what Andrew says almost all the time, it was another Seth Rollins match. He didn't really gain anything extra out of it. I don't know. I'm not asking him to change his moveset or anything. We get it. You're a good wrestler. Drew's an amazing wrestler. But if you're left feeling kind of underwhelmed, it's because of all the damage that they've done over the past few months. This is a result of that.
Yeah, I actually thought the match was pretty entertaining, but I thought the finish with the roll-up was rather deflating.
Yeah, there were quite a few roll-ups tonight. There was a lot of... you know, double teaming. There was a lot of similarities amongst the matches that seemed kind of glaring.
Well, let's talk about a match that probably had no business being on tonight's card, and that was the six-man tag match that, with the Lucha House Party of Grand Metalik, Kalisto, and Lince Dorado taking on Jinder Mahal and the Singh Brothers. Tony, I believe you used this in your Raw report for a Tasty Cake breakover at 4-0 Mania.
Yeah, it was so uninteresting to me that today is the 2-year anniversary of me going to the AVNs in Vegas when Riley Reid bit Vanessa's ass. So I just posted a video of that instead. I'm pretty sure no one would be upset.
Andrew, did you watch this match at all?
Did I? What? Why do I care? Like, whoop-de-doo, it was what?
Okay.
Wasn't it like Jinder and the Singhs against the Lucha? Like, I don't even really remember who was in it because I really don't care.
Here's the only question that I have about this match for you guys. What the fuck kind of finish is a Tilt-A-Whirl backbreaker in 2019?
A bad one?
That'll do as a proper answer. Thank you, Andrew. All right, moving on. Highlight package on EC3. Where do you guys think EC3 is going to land up? What do you think his perspective is for the main roster? Tony?
You know what? I don't know, man. And you know what's worse? I don't think they know.
That's sadly probably accurate. Andrew?
Yeah, until he actually says something... I don't know if they know, because everything, he's just been standing there, he's been looking good, and then Dana was talking to him, but he didn't respond, and one of his strengths as a wrestler is his talking ability, so I don't really know why you're taking this away. Is it supposed to be funny? Is it supposed to just build up to when he finally speaks, it's going to be something great? Because it's really not. He's a sarcastic prick. What he says is going to be like the same shit we hear from everybody else. Just we might enjoy the flair he brings to it. But like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Damn it, WWE.
You mentioned the Dana Brooke EC3 interaction backstage. Another person that we saw in that segment as he was making his way to the ring was Elias. And that actually got me to thinking whether or not possibly Elias could be EC3's first feud. And I have to tell you, the mic work between those two could be very fun to watch.
Yeah, but I don't want Elias to turn into the gatekeeper of the mid-card, because he hasn't even really gotten a solid push. People just like his gimmick, so that's why he's over. But what's he done? So I don't really know if that'll elevate him much. Did it elevate Apollo Crews? Did it elevate Jason Jordan?
The other thing that we talked about last week when I barely had a voice to talk about it was possibly putting EC3 with Lashley over the Intercontinental title, since those two have a history, not that they'll acknowledge it with their run against each other for the TNA Heavyweight Championship. Elias comes out to perform a song, and he is interrupted by Baron Corbin. I believe Elias listens to this show because he verbatim took Tony's address about Corbin wearing the outfit like he's still the manager at Applebee's.
Basically, he's one of my biggest fans.
Elias messages Tony every night.
Tony has a signed Elias guitar, or does Elias have a signed Tony manuscript? Maybe they each have. Never mind. Moving on. The match itself goes 3 minutes and 30 seconds shown when we come back from the commercial break, and Baron fucking Corbin pins Elias with End of Days. Not clean. He poked him in the throat, I guess, in order to stagger him or whatever, but why in the hell is Corbin pinning Elias right now? Tony, care to venture again?
Because everyone needs to look just a little bit stronger going into the Royal Rumble. It's not a good reason. It's actually a shitty reason.
I'm calling it right now. Corbin at least takes a run at Santino Marella's record for shortest time in a Rumble match. Enters, gets knocked right the fuck back out. Andrew?
Like fat chicks in my bedroom.
Hey, I'm not sure where I was supposed to go with that because there's no fat chicks in this bedroom. But, you know, yeah, Corbin getting knocked out of the Rumble quickly would be nice.
Do you have any thoughts on the Elias and Corbin match?
Oh, it happened. News at 11.
Oh, you want me to review the match?
And now to Ollie Williams with the Black U match report. Ollie, it sucked. Thanks, Ollie. Now then.
It's fucking cold.
It's going to rain. It's raining sideways.
A moment of bliss follows, and they run down the participants in the Women's Rumble match. If you were following along on the WWE Twitter account, they revealed most of these names on Sunday, therefore making this segment irrelevant. A brawl breaks out because, as we all know, bitches be crazy. It eventually leads to Lacey Evans coming out and calling them all out on bitches being crazy and saying that the lady with class needs to be the one to win the Royal Rumble, and that lady will be Lacey Evans instead of the sawed-off runt, Alexa Bliss, who does also announce her eligibility, thus making her awaited return from injury inside of the Women's Rumble. We'll do predictions a little bit later on here, but I don't know. I don't know. It's almost like they're intentionally making these Moment of Bliss segments disasters, Tony.
Yeah, that's what I think they're going for. I think they find it funny. So, Nia Jax, still horrible, and she didn't even talk. It just, down to mannerisms and the way that she lumbers, like it was...
She showed up, and it was horrible.
Oh, my God. How did you the life out of this? Look, we don't need the girls to be catty. We don't need and again, we saw the revolving door earlier today or tonight, and now we're seeing it again. And at that point, it's not even laughable. It's annoying. Why are we doing this? Why did we make this happen? Seriously, the only good to come of this is the announcement that Alexa Bliss is going to be in the Rumble. So it's like, oh, yay. And then Lacey Evans, you know what? I'm just not – she doesn't really appeal to me. Not, you know, looks-wise. That's irrelevant in terms of, you know, her wrestling quality and the quality of character. This is – I think we spoke about this before where I just don't see this character working on a grand stage as opposed to a smaller one in NXT.
I still say that I think that the Lacey Evans gimmick will be successful on the main roster. I think Andrew agreed with you, Tony.
Well, yeah, that's mainly because you're almost always wrong.
Thanks, Dick. Andrew, your thoughts on the moment of bliss?
I like the fact that Alexa kind of made mention of the fact that they always go to hell. Like, it's an obvious trope that they're just kind of beating into the ground, so... If that didn't give away the fact that it was purposefully done, then I don't know what does. And it's irritating that this happens because, you know, Alexa's a great talker. She's the best personality on Raw, and we get that shit. So what are you going to do? And then they all had to come out and say a little something, and it was just, again, another one of those, why am I watching? Why do I care? I mean, if there was a WWE coloring book for how to make an episode of Raw, that would really be like the definition of color by numbers. Like, this entire fucking show was so by the book, point for point, you know, yellow, green, blue, perfect fucking primary colors, and there was nothing of interest. Like, it was just there. Ugh.
Titus O'Neil has a backstage promo right after this and gets interrupted by a production assistant. It leads to absolutely fucking nothing, so we move on. Heavy Machinery makes their in-ring debut. They beat the Ascension, who apparently still have a job at 2 minutes and 12 seconds. Anything? No? Okay, moving on. Tag team title.
Hold on. The Worm is now known as the Caterpillar. That's pretty big.
Well, in fairness, it's also an elbow drop and not a forearm smash.
Well, and they're heavy machinery, so of course it would be Caterpillar, like, you know, cat machinery. It can't be a worm. That makes no sense. Come on, get with the program, Tony.
Because the worm makes sense anyway.
Ah, Scotty Tuhati. Now, like, you couldn't ask Grandmaster Sexay, so hey, Scotty Tuhati's all you got. Hey, right there!
Oh, the views and opinions of Andrew Balazs. Anyway, I'm actually pronouncing your name correctly now.
You did, yes. But this is that type of episode where we have to make our own fun, so fuck you. That's where I'm at.
I heard Brian Christopher was well hung. Is that true?
Hey, I like that joke too.
Kill himself, Harry.
Fuck it. Tag team titles on the line. The Revival get yet another opportunity against Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. This time Curt Hawkins is a special guest referee. We kind of talked about this earlier. Gable pins Dawson with a roll up with a fast count by Hawkins after Dawson shoved Hawkins. A 2-on-1 post-match beat down by the Revival on Hawkins sees this save made by Zack Ryder, who I was also unaware still had a job. And eventually, as Cole points out, the former tag team champions of Hawkins and Ryder stands all over the Revival. I do believe this is about as close to creative saying thank you, fuck you, bye to the Revival as we're going to get on television, assuming their actual wanted releases from their contract happen. Andrew?
Kind of have all those wonderful earmarks of the last time we're going to see them, because they kind of went through every way they lost the match, and then typical cheating stuff. And I mean, it was kind of a nice, I don't know, highlight reel of heelish ways to try to win a match. So that was nice. And I still, contend that the best part of this entire segment was Hawkins' match, or Hawkins' comment before the match, when he said something like, you know, I have a lot of experience with recounts, so I could be an okay referee kind of thing. So I thought that was just good. That popped me a little bit. But the match itself was worthless.
Tony.
Yeah, so you're going to highlight a man who's not a referee as being a really good referee compared to all your other referees. And you show us in very, very quick fashion how easy it is to show an instant replay. And all the times it didn't matter over the course of history, it matters today just so that Hawkins could prove a point. And also, he has the capability to be like, yeah, look, I'll show you, and press play and just show exact cuts and edits of what just happened to prove his point. I don't know. Again, it's one of those things that just removes you from the reality that they're trying to create. Like, well, that's not even real. Well, how is that all lined up? If someone didn't watch wrestling and they watched this, they'd be like, what the fuck? Obviously, it's fake. So that bothered me. Zack Ryder coming out, I know what they wanted to do here. They wanted to say, look, Internet, we love you. See? Guess what? This is like 4 years too late. Like, we stopped caring about Zack Ryder. And that's your fault. It was cool. It was like, oh, look, they're back together again. That's awesome. But, okay. I think it was just, I feel like Andrew was sitting there watching Raw, and he said the word okay, multiple times. Like, oh, okay.
It's like we watched it together, Tony, because that was really my, I'm like, okay. That okay, yeah.
All right, okay, yeah, that's fine, I guess. You're trying, that's cool.
I don't know what I'm going to do once you two actually start to hang out on a regular basis if Tony does go to Jersey later this year.
You're going to cry.
He's going.
I'm putting in my 6-month notice to Greg right now. I'm done.
Yeah, that's if you don't get fired first for using the wrong title.
Yeah. Harry gets shit canned for fun.
I'm mad at both of you for being so really cliche, ready to rumble. Both of you guys couldn't come up with anything better.
Wait, both
well,
of you? I'm not on Chairshot Radio. Or are you talking
no,
about Greg?
No, not you, Greg and
he's
Harry.
He's referring to me and Greg.
I mean, it is kind of low-hanging fruit, yes.
Also, is it just me, or when Tony said, it's Curt Hawkins, I'll show you, did anybody else get a Steven Richards flashback? Flashback? I'll show them! You'll see!
Flashback.
I never get a Stevie Richards flashback.
I occasionally get a Stevie Richards flashback, but that's just weird, man. Like,
I've been spending too much time watching old school episodes of Sunday Night Heat. Anywho,
you're a special kind of person, Harry.
Hey,
that's what my mama tells me. Ronda Rousey promo before the main event was. Every Ronda Rousey promo she's cut to this point thus far, that is not a compliment. She stumbled over herself.
It was worse than every promo she's cut before.
She stumbled all over herself during this promo and eventually got angry and got to the point. And once she got to the point, it was a little bit better than what it was up until then, but really nothing to write home about. The main event is the tag match we predicted last week on this show, Rousey and Natalya taking on Sasha Banks and Bayley. Sasha stands tall at the end of Raw, thus winning herself yet another important spot in Tony's heart as she taps out Natalya with a Banks statement. Tony, what the fuck happened with the black screen at the end of this match? Did Natalya pop a titty or something?
No, Sasha Banks' booty fell out of her shorts.
I hate when that happens.
She's got a little bubble butt. I love it. Have you ever seen a toddler almost fall for like a good minute and a half? That's basically Ronda Rousey's promo tonight. It was like, oh my God, just fucking fall. Just stop. Just fall. just rage yell and then walk out of the scene. Like, just stop. It was bad. Sasha was, oh, man, her booty was, you know, I sent you guys a nice little video in the chat. And that was before her ass fell out of her shorts. It was just, it was a good night. No, but with regards to the match, I mean, what they tried to do was give Sasha a little bit more fire. I don't know if you guys kind of caught on, but her and Bayley were definitely the heels. But not only were they heels, but they were actually a nice little tag team there. I'm not signing on to the idea of the tag team titles, but it also just shows that they have a particular connection.
hey.
Yeah, the match was what it was. The promos and everything. This was another one of those things where, I mean, I've talked about it for the last couple of weeks, but we didn't really need them to respect each other and blah, blah, blah. It's like they try to put animosity and drama into the very end, which they almost always do the show just before. Oh, yeah, you know, we respect each other, and now in this last week, it's like, no, I don't. Fuck you. They could have started off with that. And Sasha, as cute as she is, I don't know. It's like every time she cuts a promo, I feel like there's water in between her lips and her teeth, because there's always this, like, drawl at the end where, like she holds her bottom jaw. Yeah.
I think Tony may have just killed Andrew.
Yeah.
just such a perfect way to describe it, and I've never thought of it that way myself before. And I'm just like, oh my God, that's great.
Yeah.
What was
this
your thought on the
guys,
main event tonight?
What I do.
What was your thought on the main event tonight, Andrew?
It's a water between the teeth, man. What can I say? Like, holy shit. No, but the match was okay. Like, it definitely overplayed the Bayley and Sasha working a little better together, but then Sasha's whole duck out of the way, but Bayley tends to eat a lot of the moves. So I don't know if that was supposed to telegraph a possible match between Bayley and Sasha in the future that we should have gotten 4 months ago. But I don't know. It's hard for me to really get excited when we knew this match was coming anyway. So, okay. I'm going to just go with okay, because I said that a lot today anyway. So, okay.
I want to give credit to Raw for finally putting the women in the main event, at least. It's not something we've seen recently. The SmackDown's been kind of much more adept at doing that lately. But in fairness, I think it's without question that SmackDown currently has the better women's division top to bottom right now anyway.
I don't know, man. I see a lot of the men in the main event, so I don't know about these women.
That one was
for
you.
And that'll officially wrap up tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. Let's go ahead and get into our final reaction, and then we'll do some predictions for the Royal Rumble this Sunday. Hey, Andrew.
Okay.
Thanks, Dick. Are we doing Takeover Phoenix or not?
Are we doing what?
Are we doing Takeover Phoenix or not?
I mean, do we have to do all of Phoenix? Like, I don't know how much stamina I'm going to have for that. It's warm down there.
If you'll excuse me, I'm going to go punch him in the mangina. Are we predicting the show or not, jackass?
We can. That's fine. I'll watch it eventually. It's probably on Saturday. So, yeah, sure. Let's have fun.
All right. So then we'll do the final reaction here. All three of us will predict Rumble. And then Tony probably has more important stuff to deal with than us. So Andrew and I will do Takeover Phoenix. All right. Let's final reaction for tonight's episode of Raw. Tony, scale of one. Oh, really? Okay. No. Try this again. Tony, favorite match or moment from tonight's show?
Sasha Banks. Your forehead is big, girl, but it's going to be okay.
I guess you could say it's growing on Tony, much like it grew on her. Andrew?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna grow on her.
Oh God!
Knew that one was coming.
It'll be coming.
Yep. Jesus fucking.
Knew
Christ.
That one was too. Low hanging fruit, Nero. Andrew,
yeah,
favorite match or moment?
It really is.
Don't hang that low.
Oh, jeez. Fucking. Damn it, Tony.
Any more?
If I have to pick something, you know what? I'll pick that stupid pose off, because even though I didn't really like it personally, at least Apollo showed some personality, so fuck it, why not?
I'm going to go with the McIntyre-Rollins match. I actually thought it was really good until the deflating finish, and Tony actually gave it a pretty high mark in his review as well. It's nothing we haven't seen before from these two, but it was still the high water mark of what was an otherwise relatively lackluster episode. Greg Watry, Tony.
I'm going to go with the girls. Just that whole, it was just like, it was dumb. It was dumb. They probably wrote it on a napkin or just said, okay, girls, just go out there and yell at each other.
Andrew.
Oh, Greg Watry. There's so much to pick from. So much to pick from. I'm going to probably just say the lead up to Balor and Strowman's match, because that was obvious, not very good. They kind of stepped all over each other's lines. It nothing about that felt good and all kind of cringy. So, yeah, that's where I'm going with that.
Somebody wants to tell me why the fuck we need Jinder Mahal in a six-man tag match against the Lucha House Party. Like, why? What was the point of
that?
What has been the point of this for the last couple of weeks? What is the point of anything involving the Singh brothers getting back into the ring? Leave them as the second for Mahal, who constantly take a better ass-whooping than Mahal does. Leave Mahal as that guy who has a little bit of credibility as a former champion, but not enough credibility that he has to step into the ring with people who are way out of his level, but enough that he can step into the ring with people like the Lucha House Party and make them look good in order to make them look somewhat relevant going into the Rumble. Do not give me this match again, because frankly, much like Andrew did, and much like Tony did in his report, I will change the channel. Scale of 1 to 10, Tony.
I'm going to go with 5. You know, it's a nice 5, because there wasn't anything wrong. It just was kind of there, and I mean, you should never have to say that about an episode of wrestling.
Harry, you there?
I don't think he liked my rating of 5.
Oh no!
Sorry,
Harry exploded.
I'm still here. I'm still here.
I was going to give it a 5, too, so we can just go to your answer, Harry. It's fine. For the same reasons of just me saying okay and I don't really care, and the same reasons as Tony. So, like, blah. 5.
4.5. A little bit below average. Not like a terrible episode. Diggity. And 2.5 if you Google it. But anyway. Lost my train of thought. Thanks, Andrew. God damn it.
Anytime, bud.
I hate when you guys pop me on air like that. All right. What I was going to say is, yeah, with everything that they did on the show here, it wasn't anything that you don't usually see from a traditional episode of Raw. Nothing about this Raw felt special. Like, it was the go-home to what is, in what of a lot of people's opinions, the best pay-per-view of the year. And, I mean, personally, the Royal Rumble is my favorite pay-per-view of the year. But to most people, it was definitely one of the three biggest shows of the year for sure, between Rumble, Mania, and Slam. It felt like just another episode of Raw rather than the go home to a major pay-per-view. But hey, Brock Lesnar showed up, so that was nice of him. Who's your MVP, Tony? Like, I need to ask.
Oh yeah, the booty of the bank.
Andrew.
Motherfucking damn.
I'm Lacey Evans, because I kind of like her. You know, it's a weird soft spot for me.
Soft, not what she said. Anyway. Now time
shut
for
up, you weren't here.
Now time for your Royal Rumble prediction. The probable pre-show match, because fuck the Cruiserweight, is the four-way for the Cruiserweight title. Buddy Murphy defends against Akira Tozawa, Hideo Itami, and Kalisto. Tony?
Oh, shit. The Mexican. Yeah.
Andrew?
Hideo Itami, because why the fuck not?
Murphy retains to set him losing it up at Mania to somebody actually a little bit more topical. SmackDown tag team titles are on the line when The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro, defend against The Miz and Shane McMahon, the besties in the world. Somewhere, Matt Fitchett and Davey Vega are filing a copyright claim. Tony?
Oh, you already know who's going to win, because that's just how it is. So The Miz and Shane McMahon will be the unlikely duo that wins the titles.
See, I don't necessarily know that I agree with that. Andrew?
Yeah, no, I'm kind of on the same path as Tony. Like, I think they'll win the title. It'll be a feel-good moment for a little bit before the inevitable Miz turn or Shane turn or, you know, the explosion, implosion of the team. But I think it'd be nice to give them a cheap win.
I don't feel like you need to put the belts on them in order to advance the storyline where it needs to go. And I think that there are better stories to be told with the tag belts with Cesaro and Sheamus. That being said, Miz and Shane win the belts. Sadly, I agree with both of you guys that Miz and Shane do win the titles. I'm just saying they don't need to in order to continue the storyline. The United States title is on the line, also probably on the pre-show, as Rusev defends against Shinsuke Nakamura. The match with Rusev won the U.S. title was very good on the Christmas night episode of Monday night of Tuesday Night SmackDown Live. Easy for me to say. However, we haven't really seen these guys in action since. Do you think we get anything comparable to what we got on that episode of SmackDown Live, Tony?
You know what? I don't know, man. I have a feeling Rusev is gonna win, but this is a tough one, realistically, for me at least.
Andrew.
Yeah, I feel like Rusev's going to retain just because they did nothing with Shinsuke when he had the title, so why would you just drop it back on him? Feels awkward.
See, I think for that exact reason, Shinsuke's going to get the belt back, because I think there's more that they can do with Shinsuke as the U.S. champion than there is with Rusev. There are far more babyface mid-carders on SmackDown than there are heels. So I think Shinsuke getting the U.S. title and then going on to defend it against maybe somebody like AJ, an opportunity to get some redemption at WrestleMania for what many considered a disappointing effort last year, could be an interesting way to go with that.
Redemption is an Impact pay-per-view, Harry. It's not WWE.
Yes, I know. It's the only one from 2018 that I didn't cover for thechairshot.com. Still.
Hey, nice plug.
Thank you. I'm getting better at this. SmackDown Women's title, Asuka defends against Becky Lynch. Tony.
Yeah, this is another tough. Well, no, it's not tough. Asuka wins. Becky's going to be doing something else, I'm pretty sure.
Andrew.
Yeah, I'm on the same kind of path as Tony on this one. I think Asuka gets the win and then Becky does something else. What that something else is exactly, I'm not 100% sure, aside from what everybody wants is the triple threat between, you know, Ronda, Charlotte, and Becky. But I guess we'll see.
I think Becky gets the title back here. And the reason I think Becky gets the title back here is because I think that one of the two women in the women's title matches will end up going into and possibly winning the Rumble. And if not, then they will end up, and you will have one of the women coming out of the Elimination Chamber with an opportunity with a shot at the championship as well. I do think that rumored triple threat does happen, And I think Becky goes in as champion for that triple threat. A SmackDown heavyweight title is on the line as Daniel Bryan defends against AJ Styles. Tony?
Daniel Bryan's going to win because everyone else is fickle.
Fickle! Andrew, fickle!
Yeah,
fickle
I think Daniel Fickle Rig, yeah. But, yeah, I don't see why Styles would get the win. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, this is his third shot trying for it. It seems kind of done. So, yeah, Bryan wins.
Bryan wins. My question is, where do you go from here with Styles? I kind of mentioned possibly doing a rematch between Shinsuke and AJ at Mania for the U.S. title, but is there any other place that you could logically see Styles going?
You should try going to TNA for a little bit, see if he does well there.
Ouch.
I hear he'd make quite an impact.
Oh, no.
I have. I
so
can,
anyway.
I can cause some groaners too. Don't get me wrong. Don't leave me out of this conversation, Tony.
To answer the question to a degree, I don't know. Maybe he starts a tag team. Maybe he'll start a tag team. You never know. Like maybe the club does something, or maybe you know they'll start the club back up. Maybe Kenny Omega signs with WWE, and that's the long term plan for Omega and Styles to join up. Who knows? Or be the match at Mania. Who knows?
Like, I need to ask Tony's Raw Women's title.
Well, you see, on one hand, you have this former UFC powerhouse whose boobs are nearly falling out of their shirt every night. Eventually, you're going to get a nipple slip, right? But on the other hand, you have Sasha Banks,
sure,
full ass out tonight. And I just feel like the winner is obvious.
The winner is
obvious. Me.
I don't know why I expected anything else. I do need an actual name for the prediction, though, Tony.
Oh. Ronda Rousey.
I'm almost moderately hurt that you picked against your girl. Andrew?
He's biased, not stupid. Come on, give him a break there.
Now, if it was AJ Lee.
Never mind. No, yeah.
If
that
it was AJ
running,
Lee, they'd have a chance.
That was a running joke when the show got started to when the time AJ left. Like, every pay-per-view after she left, he still picked her to win the women's title match.
Yes, and every match she ever had was a 5-star match.
Unless she lost, then it was 4.5.
True. Thanks for remembering. I used to rate NXT matches with AJ heads.
I like this gimmick. I do.
Yeah, a lot of people hated it. It was fucking awesome.
Who did you steal that from? I know you stole that from somebody on 411. I'm trying to remember who it was.
No, I didn't steal it at all. I mean, there was a guy who would post a bunch of female photos of the Kardashians and stuff, but the AJ gimmick was
no.
I mean, I really, truly am heavily attracted to that woman. I find her to be completely adorable. And when I met her, I stammered like a fool, and I'm not that type of guy. But it just kind of took a life of its own when people started getting upset. And there was this guy, Andrew, the website is called WrestlingWithTex.com, and he made a lot of GIFs of AJ, and it just made the report all the more entertaining because they were really good, high quality, HD, and there was one, I made a collection of her, like, falling out of the ring and just kind of breathing. So there was, like, 6 or 7 different ones in one report of just AJ Lee breathing. And that was, like, the height of the obsession. And everyone was like, all right, bro, you're fucking nuts.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's the next level right there, bud.
Yeah. God, she's so hot.
I've been doing this shit for almost 6 years, Andrew.
I'm sorry?
So, Brooks.
I feel like there's an I'm sorry needed for that.
Give me your prediction for Ronda and Sasha.
Chicago pizza eating idiot. Fuck you.
Well, fuck. Okay. Jeez. That escalated. I can't even say quickly. It just escalated.
Need you to pick the Raw Women's title match, Andrew.
Oh, we're on that. Ronda. What the fuck? Like, thought we had that
Ronda
answered already.
Okay. Let's move on. Brock Lesnar and Finn Balor, Tony, for the Universal title.
You know, there's a part of me that thinks that WWE really, really wants to just press restart. But there's also a larger part of me that thinks the WWE is just doing this because they needed a Royal Rumble match. So, Brock Lesnar.
Well, apparently, Balor is Lesnar's hand-picked opponent for the Rumble. Now, the question is Lesnar willing to put Balor over? Tony says no. Andrew?
Yeah, no. Since he already tweeted that he's not coming out in demon form because he used it as too much of a crutch or some shit like that, and he's going to fight as a man? No, fuck Finn. He's not winning shit without the demon. Bye-bye.
I think Lesnar wins, but I think it's a very entertaining match, similar to the matches that Lesnar has had against AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. I think that people are going to go into this match underestimating Balor's performance, and Balor's going to make himself a star in this contest. He's not going to win, but it's still going to be a lot of fun to watch. The Women's Rumble, Tony.
Yeah, Lita is going to come back and win it all. No, Becky Lynch is going to win the Royal Rumble. I'm sure there's other choices that make sense, but it's like there's certain people you just strap a rocket to, and there's people that are like, fuck your rocket. I'm going to do it on my own. Becky's been killing it, and even if some could claim that she doesn't need the Royal Rumble, this is one of those super rare moments where I say it doesn't matter if she needs it because it would be a hell of a moment, and I'm all for it.
Andrew.
See, I'm only pausing because it's Becky or it's Charlotte, most likely. Like, I agree with conventional, you know, thought process. But I can't even make an argument for anybody else aside from those two. That's the worst part. Like, I can't make an argument for Natalya or even Ember. Like, Ember's coming up, but she's not at that point yet that you can even make that, like, believable against anybody aside from maybe Asuka to renew that rivalry. But then she jumped to SmackDown, so I don't know. I'll go Becky also. That seems fine.
Well, since I have Becky winning the SmackDown Women's title match, I'm going to go with Charlotte. Outside pick here is if Asuka retains. Somebody that I would not be surprised to see win this Rumble as well would be NXT's Shayna Baszler as a surprise. And then you could have Rousey challenging for one title at Mania or defending the title. And then you could have Baszler going after Asuka to complete the set for the four horsewomen to set up the eventual horsewomen versus horsewomen match. Tony, quick question for you. Did you hear that there has actually been some consideration within WWE to bring back AJ Lee?
I didn't hear it. I don't believe it. And I don't think she would come back. So none of it matters.
Would you be surprised to see her show up for a one-off, such as the Rumble?
I would blow my fucking lid. I would die. I would bust a nut all over my television. Every single guest that I'm going to have over on Sunday will fill the wrath of my sperm, and then I will die.
I can't say eloquent, but the imagery was there. That's, you know, that's something.
Thank you.
My innocence has been violated terribly on the course of this show.
If AJ Lee comes back, your innocence will be fucking ass raped.
The views
oh my god, what if Paul comes back?
Down the rabbit hole goes Tony. All right.
Sure,
Men's
that's
Royal
what
Rumble. Tony?
AJ Lee.
That one.
You know what? I don't know, because if they're really going with this whole Seth Rollins is the new face of America or whatever, then one would assume that he wins it. But the opposite of what I feel about Becky Lynch, I feel about Seth Rollins. He doesn't need to win the Royal Rumble. He can show up and beat someone in a fatal four-way and then be the number one contender. Whereas Becky could do the same thing, but again, it's creating a moment, and I think that moment would be huge. I feel the same way about Charlotte. If she won, I'd be upset because she doesn't need to win. That's just another stupid thing she could put on her, you know, flare belt to, you know, toot her own horn. It just doesn't – it's not necessary. But again, outside of Seth Rollins, I don't really see anybody else. I would love for them to take a chance this year with their idea and motivation for change and giving people, you know, chances and listening to their audience. It'd be pretty cool to see like a dark horse come through and win it. But I wouldn't even, I don't know. See, the Royal Rumble winner basically means that I would have to fantasy book, you know what I mean? And I don't know who would win because I don't know which direction I would want them to go because I don't want to be the person who directs. So what I'm going to do is I'll just say Seth Rollins, but know that I'm not fully behind that decision or choice.
Andrew.
Drew McIntyre.
Nice. Real nice.
I mean, Seth got the win tonight, so, like, conventional wisdom will make you think if you're strong on the go-home, you don't win the big thing, so I'll go with that. Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, well, that go-home can get raped with my innocence. Seth Rollins wins the Rumble. I agree with Tony that he doesn't need it, but I think it's the most obvious decision. And honestly, the only other person who I was considering to win the Rumble is now possibly out of the Rumble with an ankle injury, and that's John Cena. Again, another example of a person who would not need the Rumble, but I wouldn't put it past them to give it to him. That'll officially wrap us up for our Rumble predictions. It is this Sunday starting at 5 o'clock Eastern. On the WWE Network, we will have our Rumble review. We start the show with the final reaction on the Rumble next Monday night here. Play a quick musical interlude. Andrew and I will be right back with our predictions for NXT TakeOver Phoenix. You are listening to the Raw Reaction here on the Chairshot Radio Network. Tony, hit your line.
Deuces, bitches.
When the world
Hi, Harry.
Hi, Dr. Nick. Sorry. Okay, so NXT TakeOver Phoenix happens this Saturday night, and we have some predictions for that as well. We start with the NXT Women's title, Shayna Baszler defending against Bianca Belair. I have been really impressed by Belair recently, but Shayna Baszler is the baddest bitch in the division, and that's not changing anytime soon. I think Baszler retains.
Yeah, if anybody breaks the undefeated kind of streak of Belair, it should be Baszler. So I was kind of on the Baszler train myself as well.
My prediction for this is that Baszler retains against Belair at NXT TakeOver Phoenix, and then at NXT TakeOver New York, or back to Brooklyn, I guess, technically. Baszler loses the title to Io Shirai there.
That makes a lot of sense. I don't hate that.
The NXT tag team titles are on the line when the Undisputed Era of Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong, accompanied to the ring by Bobby Fish and Adam Cole!
Bebe.
Defend against the War Raiders, Rowan Hansen. This is the swan song for Undisputed Era in NXT.
You kind of have to assume they're done.
I'm hearing strong rumors that they're planning on making these guys like the go-to faction on Raw. And I completely believe it because every single one of these guys has a credibility and a buzz about them right now that you're seeing Undisputed Era merchandise popping up all over WWE arenas already as it is. They know who these guys are. They know what these guys are capable of. The fans are behind them. And once he actually does get the opportunity, Adam Cole.
I'm not doing it again. Stop it.
Okay, I will. Bebe will be a major league super baby face down the road for the WWE. War Raiders take the tag team titles here. The Undisputed Era start to say their goodbye to NXT.
Andrew? Sure. Sure. I mean, everybody loves the Undisputed Era, but it does make plenty of sense that they come up by now. Because what else is there to do, really, aside from win the major championship, but they don't even really need that. So, yeah. Undisputed time.
Matt Riddle was already 2-0 against Cassius Ohno, Chris Hero. Now they have a third match, this time a second one-on TakeOver after the New Year's episode and then the TakeOver Survivor Series. I forget where they were for Survivor Series. But Toronto, maybe? I think they called it War Games, though, regardless. Third verse, same as the first here, Andrew. Riddle get another win, or do they finally give Ohno something to work with instead of just being the gatekeeper in NXT?
What would be the point of Ohno beating Riddle at all? Like, I don't know. I don't really understand Ono's role. It's even beyond gatekeeper because he has to kind of win to be taken legitimately. He's in that Ziggler role where I guess they think he's the gatekeeper, but really he just kind of takes up space. And this is going to be another one of those times. Might be a little more competitive than that first one we saw at War Games 2 where he got immediately dropped by a bicycle knee. So hopefully he lasts more than like 5 seconds.
I think Ohno wins this match because he kind of has to in order to give him any semblance of credibility. I don't think you want to do that winning streak gimmick in NXT. I don't think that a winning streak gimmick goes over well this day and age. And somebody like Riddle can bounce back from a loss to somebody like Ohno. especially if they play into the fact that Riddle still hurt from the post-match beatdown that Ono gave him at the New Year's episode of NXT. Now
yeah,
the
but WWE, people don't even sell things in the same show. You think he's going to sell it for 2 weeks or whatever? Come on. No, no.
No, this is not WWE. This is NXT. There is a difference.
No, no. What network do you watch it on? Who owns it?
NXT Network. Why do you ask?
Oh, okay. That's nice. And it's the NXT UK, United Kingdom title. It's not some other one that they put on these shows a lot, right?
Speaking of NXT UK, I hear that they're going to be getting their next takeover right around Mania season as well. Could you imagine a double Mania takeover for NXT and for NXT UK? Like have them back to back, one at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, one at 8 o'clock Eastern.
I mean, sure. People that like that will like that, but I'm kind of indifferent to it.
All of the grapples.
DeGrapple.
What can I say? I'm looking forward to a very wrestling-heavy weekend that weekend. So the more wrestling, the better for me. All right, let's move to the NXT North American title as Ricochet defends against Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano. Interesting twist on this one with Tommaso Ciampa suggesting that Gargano go after Ricochet. And son of a bitch, here we are.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dramatic reverb. Who you got here, Andrew?
Honestly, I've got Gargano going over here. Ricochet doesn't need to hold it any longer. If anything, they could push him up to main event status, not necessarily main roster. And then we're good. We go from there. Gargano finally gets gold, which we've kind of been waiting for him to get anyway.
I think Ricochet retains. And the reason I think Ricochet retains is because I think this is going to be part of the long game for Gargano to get back at Tommaso Ciampa. And if Ciampa retains against Aleister Black, then Gargano still has something to go after with Aleister Black still being the NXT heavyweight champion.
Perhaps.
Your main event of TakeOver Phoenix is the aforementioned Aleister Black and Tommaso Ciampa match for the NXT Heavyweight Championship. I'm actually going to go against what I just said there. I think Aleister Black gets the belt back. And the reason I think Aleister gets the belt back here is because I think that we eventually revisit the triple threat that we were supposed to get back before Aleister got hurt at the NXT House Show and possibly as early as Mania. I think that Aleister going into that match as champion makes more sense for it to be a triple threat rather than Ciampa going into that match as champion because both Gargano and Ciampa will have legitimate claims to the title shot if Black has the title, whereas if Ciampa retains the title, then Black has no say in regards to a NXT match WrestleMania weekend in Brooklyn. So I'm going to say Black wins the belt here, and then it sets up a triple threat match that we were supposed to get back at the TakeOver Los Angeles last year, SummerSlam weekend.
There's logic there. I don't hate it. I don't agree, but I don't hate it. Because I don't really see why you beat Ciampa here, unless they're deciding to call Ciampa up, which I don't think he's done unless Gargano loses and they bring them up together. It's weird. So I'd like Ciampa to retain here, mainly because I think Black is at that point where he needs to move up to the main roster or just kind of something. Like I think he's kind of outgrown the NXT umbrella a little myself because what else is he going to do? He's kind of been lingering around that main event status for a couple months, a better portion of a year if you even want to look at it that way. And he's held the belt once already, so what more is there to do?
Well, my thought process to this, too, is have you heard the rumors of them possibly moving NXT to Fox Sports 1 come the fall of next year?
I've heard that Fox wants it. I just don't know how they were planning on playing around with that whole thing.
I think that if NXT goes to Fox Sports 1, then you're definitely going to keep a lot of the bigger names that are down there right now that are familiar with the Full Sail crowd down there. I don't think that this would be the time to mix it up down there. I think that you could continue to keep NXT as kind of your is what it is, your third brand almost, and then you could kind of use your working relationship with Evolve as your new developmental almost.
Yeah, but as we've seen from when people get called up to the main roster, even the quote-unquote big names of, you know, NXT aren't exactly big. Like, they don't make that, and they don't make enough of an impact on the main crowd, whatever you want to call it, the casual crowd. People still don't really know who they are. People don't pop for entrances or gimmicks or whatever. Like, have you heard any like humongous pops for anybody that they've been doing on Raw Raw and SmackDown last couple weeks? Like EC3, people don't make a lot of noise. You know what? Lacey doesn't get a big reaction. Otis is starting to get a bit of a reaction, but that's also because people only know him as the moronic pretty lady kind of guy. And it's weird. That's what I'm gonna say. It's just odd where big in NXT doesn't really translate to the casual crowd well at all.
There have been a couple of people that have been kind of just there in NXT, though, that have definitely had success on the main roster. So it kind of seems to work both ways there.
I agree that it works both ways, don't get me wrong. But they didn't pop for him right away. His gimmick just kind of took off.
Okay, that's fair. He personalized his way into the gimmick. Do you think that we're going to end up worrying about the same thing happening to the Undisputed Era once they get caught up? Because I feel like the Undisputed Era might be immune to that potential NXT stigma just based on the sheer fact of how charismatic all four of those guys are.
Yeah, I think they might be above the curse, the stigma, whatever you actually want to call it. But it's still going to be close. That's going to be an interesting one to kind of keep people's eyes on, because Cole wasn't huge coming out of ROH, and now it's not exactly too much different. Like, you know, like, he's big in NXT, he's big with Marks, but I don't really see how people wouldn't just see him as a typical Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho type of character that we've seen a bunch of anyway. So he's going to be an interesting one.
I believe if the Dolph Ziggler rumors are true that Dolph is done with the WWE, I worry that most of the casual fans are going to kind of put Cole into that Dolph Ziggler role. And that is the absolute surest possible way to make sure that Cole gets nothing accomplished on the main roster, in my opinion. Nothing to the level of what a lot of us feel like he's capable of based on what we've seen from his time in Ring of Honor, from his time in Combat Zone Wrestling, from his time with Evolve, and then from his time in NXT.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that either. Cole's going to be an interesting situation. That's the nicest way for me to put it. Like, I'm not 100% sure on what else he can do, where else they're going to go with it, but it's going to be interesting.
And if people were interested in reading your thoughts on NXT TakeOver Phoenix as well as the Royal Rumble, where would they be able to do so, Andrew?
Oh, I believe they would be able to do so at a site such as thechairshot.com.
In addition, we will open the show next week here on the Raw Reaction with final reactions for both NXT TakeOver Phoenix as well as the Royal Rumble, like we talked about with Tony. If Tony gets around to watching TakeOver Phoenix, he'll join us for the TakeOver Phoenix one. If he doesn't, then TakeOver Phoenix will just be myself and Andrew. Speaking of independent wrestling, however, like we mentioned with Combat Zone, Ring of Honor, Evolve, etc., if you guys are a fan of Progress Wrestling, yours truly has been handed the keys to the kingdom in terms of the Progress reviews, and the second one has just recently been posted at the aforementioned TheChairShot.com website. I take a look back at the very first title defense of, oh God, why am I drawing a blank on his name now? I'm drawing a blank on his name. The Show Stealer. God damn it. Why am I drawing a blank on his name? I know the show I'm about to watch, I know he loses the title, but I don't remember the guy's freaking name. He takes on Marty Scurll. on the second show, and it's actually a very good match. It's 2 out of 3 falls.
I did read your report, but it's still UK wrestling, so I don't. That wasn't the Lion guy, was it?
No, not Lion Kid.
This is gonna bother.
Stall for time, Andrew, because this is gonna bother me.
Stalling for time. We do this thing where we stall for time. I don't know. See. Anyway, though, so yeah. Aside from Harry's chair shot classics with Progress, we have plenty of other chair shot classics. We have WWE. We have Impact. We have WCW. What else do we have? I think we have even a couple other random as hell things. And, I mean, what the hell was it called? Warriors of Wrestling? Like the old version of it before it even turned into something? We try to hit a lot of different points on the spectrum.
Is the show Steeler's name. I don't know why I completely blanked on his name. I think he like fucking disappears as soon as he drops the belt at Chapter 4 anyway. I won't say who he drops the title to. You'll have to read my review once it gets posted to find out. I will give you the hint that he is currently in the WWE's NXT UK though. As far as the other chair shot classics go, yeah, Eric Ames does a fantastic job of reviewing the older shows. And a lot of that comes from he has a lot of time doing this as well, whereas I'm just now once again starting to type up these reviews on a regular basis. So he's able to post these on a very consistent basis, whereas I'm lucky if I get one out every other week.
That's a fair point.
I'm trying, people. I'm working on it. I'm doing what I can. Let's get ready to rumble. Fuck it.
You just had to, didn't you?
I made myself laugh. Does that count?
It counts for something, I suppose. I think Greg's going to just smack you if you listen to this, though.
He's not going to, though. I think we're okay. Maybe.
He's going to smack
you. If he does, then I'm not. It's been a good run, everybody. And I look forward to listening to whoever takes over. Wow.
I see. That's what we're going
you
with
may
now.
You may end up
if
getting
I
promoted
die.
To host. It may just end up being you and Tony on this show.
See, we'd need a third person. It doesn't necessarily work. We're both too smarmy.
You guys need a straight man to play off of.
We do. You balance us out nicely, Harry. You complete us.
You need a gorilla to your Heenans.
We do. We really, really do. We need a just, you know, someone to just say stop it.
Would you stop? Rest in peace, gorilla.
Thank you.
Speaking of classic wrestling, you notice that they put up some of the old school episodes of Superstars on the network earlier today.
I did not notice that. I haven't been on the network in a couple of days.
I am going to go indulge me some 1992 episodes of Superstars back when Campy was cool and Papa Shango was still a fucking thing.
Is this before or after he put the curse on Ultimate Warrior?
It is the episodes where he puts the curse on Warrior. And now that Andrew's interest is piqued, that's going to do it for us for the aforementioned Tony Acero, who's no longer with us because he split after we finished the Rumble predictions. He's Andrew Blass. By the way, you hosting last week is how I learned how to pronounce your name.
Oh, son of a bitch. There we go. That's right. I did actually say my name. I forgot I did that.
Because you started us off with, you know, it's going to be a weird show when I'm the first voice you hear. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Chair Shot Radio Network's Raw Reaction. I'm your host, Andrew Balazs. I'm like, son of a bitch, I've been saying his name wrong.
Fair point.
In fairness,
fair point.
in fairness, you do join an esteemed club of people whose last names I have completely fucked up on this show. Ask Rick Balon, he'll tell you.
Are you saying his name right this time or no?
Yes, I used to pronounce it Beslin because that's how it's spelled. But he's from Louisiana, and everything's all fucked up down there.
Oh, I got that Cajun twist to it. That's always nice.
Yeah, he's got like that French-Canadian thing going on down there. So instead of Beslin, how it's spelled, it's pronounced Balon.
That makes sense. It does make a lot of sense. A lot.
He's Andrew. I'm Harry. Progress Chapter 2 on thechairshot.com right now. Takeover Phoenix and the Royal Rumble review by Andrew on the Chair Shot this weekend. Our reviews of Takeover Phoenix and the Royal Rumble here on the Raw Reaction next Monday night here on the Chair Shot Radio Network. blogtalkradio.com/chairshotradio. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you guys once again next week here on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Whew. You have been listening to the Raw Reaction on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Join us again next Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern as Harry Broadhurst, Tony Acero, and Andrew Balazs present the Raw Reaction, a presentation of the Chair Shot Radio Network, online at thechairshot.com. Always use your head.